Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
A young woman left for her freshman year in college one autumn. Before she left, she asked her mom to look after the potted violets in her aquarium in her bedroom. Her mom, who often seemed distracted, assured her that she would water the plants and take care of the fish, no problem. The daughter left with assurances from her mom that everything would be cared for. 3 weeks after leaving, the girl called home, and in the course of the conversation, she asked how her violets were doing. The mother apologized that she'd forgotten to water them and that they all died. Then she inquired about the goldfish, and the mother confessed that she had been busy and had neglected to feed them and found them all dead. After a long pause, the young woman asked with anxiety in her voice, "And how's Dad doing?" Unlike this mother, the mother in the account we'll look at in this episode was anything but neglectful. She did everything in her power to secure her daughter's healing by the Lord. And from her example and the Lord's responses to her, we learn important truths about understanding our place in God's program. Matthew 15:21-22 reads, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Tyre and Sidon were cities located in the region of Phoenicia in what is modern Lebanon. They were coastal cities on the Mediterranean Sea. The Lord was seeking a time of rest, seclusion, and quiet for himself and his disciples. Arriving in this area, the corresponding passage in the Gospels in Mark 7 tells us that Christ entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Here in Phoenicia, somewhere near Tyre and Sidon, in a house, his rest was interrupted by a woman from this area. Matthew calls her a woman of Canaan. Mark calls her a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. This woman was a woman in a culture dominated by men, and she was a Gentile, a non-Jew, who did not enjoy the privileges of God's chosen people. Being a Gentile at this time, she fit the description of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2:11-12. "Being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time ye were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Positionally, she was an outcast, excluded from Israel, outside the covenants of promise made to Israel. She was a Phoenician of Syria, descended from the Canaanites who inhabited Palestine before Joshua's conquest. The Canaanites were ancient foes of the Jews. When God gave Israel the land and told them to go in, he instructed them to totally eliminate the Canaanites. However, because of Israel's disobedience, some had survived Israel's invasion under Joshua, and this woman was a descendant of the survivors. So a woman, a non-Jewish woman descended from Israel's enemies, coming to the Messiah of Israel, took great courage. She crossed great cultural, racial, religious, and historical barriers in doing so. And she comes to Christ filled with faith, hope, and love. When she comes to the house, she cried unto Christ on behalf of her daughter, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David." She comes to the Lord not demanding anything. She humbly cried out and begged for mercy. Her physical position reinforces her humility. Mark 7:25 says that when she came in to him at the house, she fell at his feet. And she addressed him as Lord. She believed in his authority, his power, his ability to meet her need. that he could deliver her daughter from being possessed by a demon. Knowing he was Lord, she believed, and rightly so, that he had authority over the supernatural kingdom of Satan and sovereignty over darkness and demons. But then, interestingly, she calls him Son of David. Saying that, she placed herself squarely on Jewish ground. She, using this title, revealed her faith in Jesus as Israel's Messiah, that he was the righteous branch out of King David and Israel's royal king and Messiah. The Gospel of Matthew begins with this title being given to Christ, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The book of Matthew proves the truth of that title, Son of David, being given to Jesus Christ, that he is Israel's king, and that the covenant made with David of an everlasting king, an everlasting throne, and an everlasting kingdom would be fulfilled in him. This Gentile woman correctly saw Jesus Christ as Lord and King, as sovereign and royal. And because of her conviction about that, she brought her great need to him, and she did so humbly at his feet, begging for mercy. This humble mother told the Lord how her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Mark 7:25 says she had an unclean spirit. Her daughter was possessed with an unclean, filthy, wicked demon. Grievously speaks to the severity and seriousness of the case. She was badly demonized and tortured by the demon within her. Mark 7:25 says her daughter was young. And Mark 7:26 says she besought the Lord that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Each day, this mother saw the horrid effects of demon possession on a first-hand basis. Every single day, she was reminded of the suffering of her young daughter. Every day, she was reminded how helpless she was to stop the problem. And as a mother does, her child's pain became her own. In faith and humility, she does not bring her child to the Lord. And she does not ask him to go to her. In her distress, she just brought her need and spread her grief before the Lord. Matthew 15:23 says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." At first, Christ said nothing to this grieved mother. And it's been said, the word has no word. The fountain is sealed. Did the Lord care? Absolutely, he cared. Did he have compassion for her and love? Yes. So why didn't he say anything? And there's a lot of reasons put out there why, many think. In God's plans and purposes, under Israel's prophetic program, there was a distinction between Jew and Gentile. In this program, God had separated Jews from Gentiles for the purpose of redeeming both groups and all people. God called out and separated one nation in order to reach all the other nations. Here in Matthew, Christ had already forbidden his disciples from going to the Gentiles. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In John 4:22, the Lord himself said, "Salvation is of the Jews." God's plan at that time, under that program, was for Israel to be a light to draw the Gentile nations to himself, and salvation came through the Jews, through them, to the world. The Jews were God's channel of blessing, through whom all people at that time would come to find salvation. Thus, Israel needed to be reached first. They were the priority in Christ's earthly ministry and in his disciples' ministries. Christ and the disciples worked with Israel to be that light to draw the world to God and his salvation through Israel. In his earthly ministry, Christ always did the Father's will. He operated in perfect accord with the Father's will and His program at that time. Christ's silence to this grieving mother is a reminder of His obedience to the Father. His silence is a reminder of His love for the world, of His mission and purpose in His ministry. Everything Christ did was out of love. Even saying nothing to this woman was love. Christ, of course, was compassionate with this woman's plight, but He was wholly given to His Father's will and His Father's program at that time. This determined mother then turned her attention to the disciples. Mark 7 says the woman had besought Christ to send the demon out of her daughter. Besought means she kept begging Him over and over. So she begged Him, and then when He didn't answer, she turns her attention to the disciples and did the same thing and cried after them. In response to her persistent cries and beggings, the disciples turned to the Lord and begged and besought Him over and over to send her away, send her out of the house, anywhere but there. The disciples become impatient and annoyed by her crying out and ask the Lord to send her away because she keeps crying after her. Like it's been said, when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Colossians, The Preeminence of Christ, is a hardcover 256-page commentary written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. As the head of the body, Christ holds the preeminent position in the church. This wonderful truth was a special revelation solely committed to the Apostle Paul. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Matthew 15:24-25 says, "But He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me." Still not responding to the woman, after the disciples asked the Lord to send her away, He reminded them that He was not sent, that is, from heaven by the Father, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that is so important to remember when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 10:11 reads, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Father's will when He sent the Son was to send Him, who is the good shepherd, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, so that they who were lost might be found, and to give His life for the sheep. And Christ's first responsibility was to Israel, and to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. Israel was the apple of God's eye at that time. To her, as Paul puts it, was given the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Under this program, which the Lord ministered, Israel held a position of preeminence above the Gentile nations. Christ was reinforcing to the disciples of the need to stay on the plan. Carry out your ministries in accordance with the Father's will, His program, His mission at that time. God promised Abraham in Genesis 22:18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And Christ came to make Israel, Abraham's seed, that blessing to the world. In light of this, Peter told Israel in Acts 3, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities. Christ came to bless Israel and to make Israel a blessing by turning them from their sins. After Christ had spoken the words, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, this mom comes and worships him, probably kneeling, prostrating herself on the ground. Prostrating herself in her worship, she implores the Lord, Lord, help me. And that is such a beautiful expression of total dependency and confidence. These three words are such a powerful prayer. And there are times in life when things get tough in times of suffering, when this is all we can say and all we need to say. Lord, help me. And we just hang on to him by faith. We call on his aid. We ask for his strength. And selflessly, on behalf of her daughter, putting her needs first, as a mother does, this woman humbly begs the Lord for his help. This mother identifies herself with her daughter, as for the Lord to help her daughter would be to help her. This mother's heart was broken because of her child's suffering. And it's been said well that having a child is to forever have your heart go walking around outside your body. Matthew 15:26-27 reads, But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she saith, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In response to her plea for help, the Lord addresses her finally. He told her that it is not good to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now the sheep of the lost sheep of the house of Israel in verse 24, sheep were clean animals under the law, and it refers to the house of Israel. Here in verse 26, children is speaking of the Jews, again, the children of Israel. While the dogs refer to Gentiles, and dogs were unclean animals under the law. There are two words in the Greek for dogs in Scripture. One speaks of a mangy, prowling, vicious kind of dog that ran in packs and scavenged for food. The other word is the term for household pet dogs, and that's the word that the Lord uses here. And Christ gives her a picture here. He uses an everyday analogy in a home at mealtime. He said that it is not right or proper to take the bread away from the children sitting at the table and to throw it down to the dog sitting at their feet. Now, if you have a pet dog in your home, like our family does, then you know that stare that you get when you're eating, when they're hoping for food and they're hoping that you'll toss them something. But Christ says that it is a basic principle of life that when the pet dog comes around the table, you don't take the food out of your children's mouths and give it to a begging pet dog. The illustration teaches how the Jews had a privileged position with God in being his covenant children, while the Gentiles had a much less privileged position as a dog. And Christ could not overlook the distinction between Jew and Gentile and God's plans and purposes at that time under the law. The Lord said to Israel in Leviticus 20:26, And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Here the Lord asks this Gentile woman, Is it proper in God's plans to take the physical and spiritual blessings that rightfully belong to the children of Israel and cast them to a Gentile? Or is it appropriate in God's program to interrupt my ministry and mission to Israel in giving her bread and her blessing at this time and give my service and blessing to you, a Gentile, and feed you before them? Mark 7:27 adds that Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or fitting to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. The children had the priority to be fed before feeding the dogs. And what that teaches is that Israel had the priority under that program before the Gentiles. Pastor Charles Baker wrote, God's order was for Israel to first be filled with her blessings before the Gentiles were to receive blessing. Israel must first be blessed before she could in turn pass on the blessings to the Gentiles. And the woman's response is remarkable. She says, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's not insulted. She agreed. Truth, Lord. She understood her place in that program as an unclean Gentile dog at that time. She does not presume to think that she had a prominent place in God's program at that time like the children of Israel did. She did not believe that she had any right to deprive God's children and his chosen people of God's privileges, blessings, and mercies. And she does not argue that her needs make her the exception. She knew she was an undeserving Gentile, undeserving of God's blessing, and with complete absence of pride or self-reliance or self-righteousness, unlike the Pharisees and scribes, she appeals to mercy. And she says, in effect, you're right. I am only one of the little dogs at the table. But crumbs fall from the table to the floor, and that's all I need. The woman claimed her rights under God's program at that time. She doesn't demand a spot at the table. She doesn't want the children's portion. She was content to accept her place, but she wanted the privileges that went along with that position. She knew what could be hers as a Gentile dog, and that was crumbs. And she was willing to accept any blessing, even a tiny crumb that might fall from the children of Israel's table. There need be no interruption to Christ's mission. All she requested was a crumb to fall, a small benefit of his overabounding mercy would be enough to meet her need. This humble mother understood God and his word and his program at that time, and she accepted her place in it. She's a great example. And the question for you is, do you understand your place in God's program today? We are now living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Today, under grace, a change has taken place in which God has concluded both Jew and Gentile in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all, Romans 11:32 says. Today, no nation has priority, and there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Israel and her program has been temporarily set aside. God has turned to the Gentiles, the nations, to have a program with us by his grace. And today, under grace, salvation is not through Israel. It is not Israel as a blessing and light to the world to reach the nations. Salvation and reconciliation to God is offered to all and to anyone without distinction. Anyone who trusts that Christ died for your sins and rose again is saved by God's grace through your faith, and you are reconciled to God. Under grace, God blesses believers with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, and gives to us, the body of Christ, a heavenly home and a heavenly inheritance. Today, the church is ambassadors for Christ. We are sent out by God to beseech anyone and everyone to be reconciled to God and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Matthew 15:28 says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." This mother had accepted her place, believed God's word, and persisted in her plea. Christ was touched by the woman's faith, and he commended it, telling her, "Great is thy faith." She had great faith because she had so little on which to build it. She was a Gentile, outside the covenants, outside the law, outside the promises, outside the land, in an area where the Lord had not been doing his miracles and teaching. So based on her position and the amount of content and information she had, her faith was great. On the other hand, when the Lord would say to the disciples, "O thou of little faith," it was relative to all they knew and to all they had been exposed to and seen and heard. They should have had a greater faith. Verse 28 says that this woman's daughter was made well from that very hour forward. Mark 7:30 says, "After this mother quickly scurried home, when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. She found her daughter resting quietly and peacefully in bed with that demon gone." It's been said that miracles happen at the feet of Jesus. This woman cast herself at Christ's feet in faith in him and humility, and a miracle happened in her and her daughter's life. Maybe there's someone in your family who needs Christ, who needs to be saved or needs to turn their lives to him. And we should follow this woman's example, go to the Lord and throw ourselves at his feet and pray persistently for them.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.